NASA launched the Chandra X-ray Observatory nearly 18 years ago. While other telescopes like the Hubble have given us new insights into many parts of the universe, Chandra is unique because it sees and records bodies and events that can't be seen using only visible light.
Wallace Tucker is the science spokesperson for the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory's Chandra X-ray Center. He's the author of several books, including Chandra's Cosmos, Dark Matter, Black Holes, and Other Wonders Revealed by NASA's Premier X-ray Observatory. Wallace, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell us, in layperson's terms, what Chandra can do that these other telescopes cannot.
Chandra is, as you mentioned, sensitive. It's an X-ray observatory, so it's sensitive to X-ray light. And X-ray light is produced by high-energy particles. It's a high-energy form of light. It's similar in the sense to visible light, but it's just a high-energy form of visible light. And the high-energy X-rays come from very hot gas. It takes gas about with a temperature of around 1,000,000 degrees to produce X-rays. So Chandra sees the hot places of the universe. And one of the surprising things is it turns out that if you add up all the matter in hot places in the universe, there's more of that than there is in, say, the cool matter, that relatively cool around stars, which has temperature of about 10,000 degrees.
So we're seeing things that we haven't been able to see before.
Exactly.
Now, I think I know that what we see from Earth has happened many years ago in space, but it takes time for the light to travel to us. What about what we're seeing thanks to Chandra? What's the time difference, if any?
It's the same. Light travels at a constant speed through space of 300,000 kilometers a second or 186,000 miles per hour. And so everything we see is out of date in that respect. You know, we see light from stars. It's several light years, thousands of light years away. We look at some of these galaxies, they could be 1,000,000,000 light years away. So our information is out of date, but the good side of it is we can look back in time. We can see things the way they were billions of years ago.
And in your book, Chandra's Cosmos, you say that only 5% of the matter in the universe is quote-unquote normal matter. That's protons, neutrons, and electrons. So what is the rest? What is that other 95%?
That 5% of the energy in the universe is that roughly 30% of the matter is normal matter. The other is dark matter. And I wish I could tell you what dark matter is, but I can't. All we know about it is we know several things about it. We know that it has gravity. In other words, it has mass and weight and will hold things together. In fact, they discovered dark matter by seeing objects, galaxies, in which the stars should have been flying off into space and they weren't. So something's going on. There was an extra force of gravity, and that extra force of gravity, as far as we can tell, is produced by extra matter. And this has been found consistently at various different kinds of objects in the universe. We know roughly how much of it there is, but we don't really know what it is. We know a lot of things it can't be now, but we don't know what it is.
And how do scientists try to determine what that might be? What steps do you take?
Well, first of all, you try to figure out how much there is, and we pretty well got that down. Then you try to figure out, if you look at a galaxy or a group of galaxies, to see what the distribution of the dark matter might be. Is it all concentrated in the center? Is it spread uniformly? Turns out it's spread more or less uniformly. And then you try to think, well, it's got to show up some other way. It should produce some kind of light sometime, maybe some high-energy radiation. And there's been a few exciting reports that thought, well, maybe it's producing X-rays. We thought maybe we had found it in one time, and maybe we did, but it hasn't been confirmed. So they keep looking for subtle ways in which the dark matter might reveal itself, collisions with other dark matter particles. Maybe they produce some strange form of radiation that we could detect. So far, no luck.
Wallace Tucker is the science spokesperson for the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory's Chandra X-ray Center, and we're talking with him about his new book, Chandra's Cosmos, Dark Matter, Black Holes, and Other Wonders Revealed by NASA's Premier X-ray Observatory. And Wallace, in the book, you divide the discoveries into three categories, the big, the bad, and the beautiful. Let's start with the big. Can you tell us about the Bullet Cluster?
Okay, the big refers to the biggest things we can find in the universe, and those right now seem to be so-called clusters of galaxies. Realize that a galaxy such as our Milky Way has roughly 100 billion stars, maybe several hundred billion. We're not sure of the exact number. These clusters of galaxies have several hundred to 1,000 galaxies like our Milky Way, so they're enormous. If you were trying to travel, watch light travel from one end of these galaxy clusters to another, it would take more than 1 million years. So they're enormous. And now I move on to the Bullet Cluster. The Bullet Cluster gives us insight into several things. What's happening is the galaxies are sort of concentrated in these clusters, so they run into each other. And when galaxies run into each other, it creates shock waves, and they get built up into bigger and bigger galaxies and bigger clusters of galaxies. Weren't sure quite how that happened until we looked at the Bullet Cluster, and we saw clusters of galaxies colliding, and you can even see the shock wave with the Chandra observations. The other thing we found out is that the dark matter, we began looking at how that's distributed, and we saw that it was distributed a little differently from the normal matter. So this is considered one of the best proofs of the existence of dark matter is the Bullet Cluster, because we can actually see the separation of the dark matter from the normal matter in this gigantic collision that's happening.
And under the category of bad, you feature a cosmic element that figures in a whole lot of books, TV shows, movies, black holes. What did Chandra add to our understanding of black holes?
Well, one of the reasons Chandra was built was to discover more about black holes, and it's definitely delivered on that. And one of the surprising things, we knew that black holes grab everything around them and pull them in, never more to return. But what they began looking is more detail as to how the black hole accumulates matter. The best way to think of it is a whirlpool in the like in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. When you pull the plug on the water in the bathtub, you can see it swirl around. And if it goes down too fast, you can notice that it bubbles. It doesn't quite go down as fast. Well, that's exactly what we're seeing around some of these black holes. The matter bubbles and doesn't go down. It just is the rate at which the black hole can swallow matter. If you exceed that rate, it won't go in. And if you add to that the fact that there's magnetic fields in this matter swirling around, creating sort of a cosmic generator, it will actually pull the matter away from the black hole and form these colossal jets of material that are pencil thin going through thousands of light years of space. No one thought that could happen until we looked at it with Chandra, and we even thought maybe we were wrong, but more observations, this has turned out to be a common phenomenon. Black holes swallow matter, but they also throw matter out, not from the black hole, but from the surroundings of the black hole, back into space, and in a way they energize space. They give back to space and don't just always take away.
Wow. That's amazing to try to wrap your brain around. I want to make sure we have time to talk about the beautiful, because I think there's so much that's beautiful in space, and certainly the images that Chandra has provided, and people can find a link to a lot of those at the Central Time Facebook page. So just a month or so after Chandra was launched, I believe, it was able to provide images of Cassiopeia A. And why was that such an exciting event?
Well, Cassiopeia A is a famous object among astronomers because it identifies this place where a massive star, a star maybe 10 or 20 times as massive as the sun, exploded several hundred years ago. It's really several hundred years plus 10,000 years when you take into account the light travel time. But the reason they're so excited about that is, one, you want to see how much energy is involved when a star exploded, and two, you want to see what elements are blown out of the star, because one of the most important developments in astronomy in the last century was the understanding that the elements we're made of are largely coming from the inside of a star. Hydrogen is always there, but oxygen is created in a star. Carbon is created inside a star. Everything else, really. And when a star explodes, like it happened in Cassiopeia, it blows these elements out into space. And in a sense, it's rejuvenating space. You can think of this grand cosmic cycle where matter gets pulled into a star, it gets created inside the star, and then it enriches the interstellar environment when it blows out of the star. So later generations of stars form. They have the elements for life or the elements to make Earth as we see it.
And as we wrap up here, we've certainly learned a lot about the universe in the past few decades. Wallace, how would you compare what we know with what is still to be discovered and understood?
I like to use the analogy of a circle. And inside the circle is what we know, and outside the circle is what we don't know. And on the edge of the circle is the boundary between the known and the unknown. So the more we know, the bigger the circle gets. But the boundary between the known and the unknown also gets bigger because the rim around the circle is larger. So there's so much we don't know. We don't know what dark matter is. We don't know what dark, we didn't get into the matter of dark energy, but we don't know what that is. Two of the most profound mysteries in physics today are yet to be solved, and we may look forward to solving those in the next 15 years, maybe not, but I'm hopeful.
Well, Wallace, thanks so much for taking the time to visit with us.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Wallace Tucker is the science spokesperson for the Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory's Chandra X-ray Center. His most recent book is titled Chandra's Cosmos, Dark Matter, Black Holes, and Other Wonders Revealed by NASA's Premier X-ray Observatory. And you can find a link to some really amazing images that have come from the Chandra Observatory over on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a reporter who's been covering the hard life of short-haul truckers in vital port cities like Los Angeles, especially on a vital link that brings products to stores and online retailers. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.